Today's Shi'ez Masechta Yuma Daf Ayin Vav. We will begin on Daf Ayin Hey Amud Beis, the last words on the Amud Davar Acher. We continue, as we did in our previous year, discussing the Mon. And the Pasuk says, Lechem Abirim Ochal Ish. The Pasuk in describing the Mon says, Lechem Abirim Ochal Ish. Says the Gemara, who is that referring to? Zay Yeshua. It's Yeshua. Sheyard leman kenegad kol Yisrael. Yeshua had enough. The man came down to Yeshua as much as took all of Klal Yisrael, because we know that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to receive the luchas, and nobody else, of course, was allowed to go up Har Sinai besides Yeshua. Yeshua waited at the foot of Har Sinai for the 40 days until Moshe Rabbeinu came down. And where Yeshua was standing there by the mountain, the man came down to him for, as if, just like it came down to rest of Klal Yisrael. How do we know this? K'siv hocha. The Pasuk says, Lechem Abirim Ochalish. V'ksiv hosam. And the Pasuk in describing Yeshua ben Nun says, V'yom Hashem al Moshe kach l'chos Yeshua ben Nun ish asher ruach boy. So you see Yeshua is considered ish. And I saw from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz Atzal, how do we understand this Gemara? Because on one hand, we look at Yeshua, and Yeshua separated himself from the rest of Klal Yisrael. And we know whenever anything positive happens to Klal Yisrael, part of the reason it happens to Klal Yisrael is because we're all together in this chus. Here, Yeshua separated himself from the rest of Klal Yisrael. But on the other hand, we're learning from here that Yeshua was so attached to his Rebbe that he could not separate himself from his Rebbe as his Rebbe went up to Har Sinai. So Yeshua had this challenge. And the Gemara is teaching us that when faced with this challenge, Yeshua chose that it's more important that he should be connected to his Rebbe than anything else. And that's why the Gemara says he was zoicha that the man should come down for him alone. But ask the Gemara, maybe the person who is referred to in this pasuk is Moshe Rabbeinu. The ksiv ish Moshe on a moid. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu is also called ish. Answers the Gemara, don ish mi ish. We'd rather compare the word ish to the word ish. Vein don ish mi ha ish. Here the pasuk says ish. Yeshua ben Nun is called ish, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu is considered ha-ish. So that's why the Gemara says that Yeshua is the person that is referred to in that pasuk versus everybody else. And as the Sfas Emes explains, and this is a follow-up to what we learned from Chaim Shmulevitz Tzal, Yeshua, by separating himself and attaching himself to his Rebbe, he was equal to the rest of Klal Yisrael. And of course, the Mashal explains what it means is he was equal to the rest of Klal Yisrael. When the Gemara says he was equal to the rest of Klal Yisrael, it was in a Ruchnis Digger fashion. Of course, we can't compare one person in Klal Yisrael to the rest of Klal Yisrael. All is that what's meant here is his Ruchnis. So the Tosfos Yeshanim asks, here the Gemara is saying that it makes sense to say the Lechem Abirim Ochalish is referring to Yeshua, not to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu is called Ha'ish, he's not just called Ish. Ask the Tosfos Yeshanim that we see that Moshe Rabbeinu is also called Ish, because doesn't the Pasuk say about Moshe Rabbeinu that he was the Ish Halakim? So the Tosfos Yeshanim says that that's not a good proof, because it's not in that pasuk. He's not just called Ish; he's called Ish Elokim. In the pasuk of Lechem Abirim Ochel Ish, the word Ish is used alone, and by Yeshua, it's also used alone. Says the Gemara, Shaul Talmidav as Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Rav Shimon ben Yochai's Talmidim asked him, "Neima lo yor leman yisro pamachs b'shana? Wouldn't it have been better that the man should come once a year?" I'll answer your question with a parable. A male bas v'dam had only one son. And he was supporting his son. And he said that once a year, I will have delivered to you all that you need for the year. So the son would only come to his father once a year. But then the father said, I want to be able to connect to my son on a daily basis. So what he said was that he's going to give him every day what he needs. And if he's going to need to see him, and like that, he greeted his father on a daily basis. Af Yisrael, says the Gemara, the same thing with Klai Yisrael. Misha yesh lo arba chamisha bonim, somebody who had four or five children, he was in constant state of concern. Why? Well, maybe the man won't come down tomorrow. And they'll all die out of hunger. And the Mashal says, why does the Gemara have to say that he had four or five children? So the Gemara says, if a person is just him and his wife, so in that situation, he could perhaps be comfortable in believing that for him and his wife, as we learned in the previous year, there were merchants that traveled through the Midbar, and they'll have panosa. For him and his wife, they'll be able to take care of themselves. But here, when we're speaking about a situation where we have a whole family, so that they can't just be so comfortable to rely on that. And therefore, by every day needing to come to rely on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, nimtza kula mechavnim aslibon levin shebishmayim. Dav acher, shayochlan aysak shucham. They ate the man when it was warm. If they got it every day, it was given, they got it warm. And as the Mashal explains in here as well, that the tzaddikim who got the man as it was, and didn't have to bake it, and didn't have to prepare it, as we discussed in our previous year, they still, by getting it on a daily basis, got it warm. If they would get man only once a year, there would be a lot to collect. So from here we see, say to Rishonim, how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for our tefillah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted every day that we should daven for the man. And that's what the Pasuk says the Nesiv HaShalom. The Pasuk says regarding the man, Laman anasenu hayelech b'sarasi imloi. How does the man connect that it's in the sign to show that we're going in the Derech HaTorah? Because the Derech HaTorah is that a person should completely rely on Hashem. And how is that accomplished? The way that is accomplished is that we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a daily basis. And by davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a daily basis, that's the Derech HaTorah. In fact, I saw from the Sefer Me'e Einei Chachamim, from the Ostra Tzvi Rebbe, he says that's the explanation of the bracha, Borei Nefoshes. Borei Nefoshes, rabbis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of the neshamas that are in the world, v'chasroinam, and he created us with chasroinam, that we're missing, that we need food, that we need all sorts of everything to be able to survive and to live. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create us in this way? L'hachyos bem kolchai, because that's how we're going to have real life. Because what is the definition of a real life? The definition of a real life is a life where we are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we need, as our Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel just said, we need to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we will recognize and become much more connected to Him. So here we see in our Gemara how important it is for us to become connected and reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's a discussion that the Paiskim have, if that's the case, that that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live. So the question is, then, is it appropriate for us to, in fact, I saw that the Zohar says that a person should not cook from one day to the next, because it shows that he's not relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every day he should cook, and that's a statement that he's saying, he's announcing that today is today, and tomorrow HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of me tomorrow. And the Magen Avraham in Sim Kuf Nun Zayin Sif Katan Gimel quotes this Zoyar, as does the Mishnah Brura over there in Sif Katan Dalet. The Michas Alazan in Sefer Divrei Torah says that that's not the Minhag Olam, and the Minhag Olam, as we know, is that people do cook for more than one day at a time. But Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Or Chaim Chelik Beis Siman Kuf Yud Aleph, that how could somebody buy an insurance policy, life insurance policy or different insurance policies, why is that not considered a lack of bitachin that we're supposed to rely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of us on a daily basis? So he explains that just like saying that somebody should go, that we go to work, is going to work a lack of bitachin? Of course, if going to work is not a lack of bitachin, because that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that we go to work. He says insurance has become part of the way we live, that we need to be covered with insurance for different situations that may come up in life. So buying insurance, he says, is part of the way people live and the way Parnassa is taken care of, Bizman Hazeh. And therefore, he says, that is not considered a lack of, that is not considered a lack of bitachin. In the contrary, he says that buying, he says, a very bechidish. He says buying a life insurance policy may be more important than to buying some sort of a policy that gives you a daily income when you're older. He says because when it comes to parnasa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that every one of us will have parnasa every day, but that parnasa is not necessarily continue after the person is no longer in the world. So there may be more of a need to guarantee for our families some sort of a income after the person is no longer here versus just having a policy that will give you income on a daily basis. Says the Gemara, they were sitting and learning the Pasha Saman. When Rabbi Elazar Ado was sitting amongst them, then Rabbi Elazar Ado and Omar, Man Shiyar Lehem Yisrael, the man that came down for Klai Yisrael in the Midbar, Hayugavoya Shishim Amma, was 60 Amma tall. Amalei Rabbi Tafim Adoy, he called him Adoy, Amosei Ata Megaviv Dvorim Mevevi Elonim. From where do you collect all these kind of sayings and say them to us? Amalei Rebbe, so he responded, Mikra Ani Doyrish, I based on an apostolic. The apostolic says, regarding the Mabul. And the Pasuk says about how much water landed in the world when there was a Mabul. So the Pasuk says, Chamish Esrei Mamala Govra Amayim, the water went up 15 Amma, V'yichasu Ahorim, and it covered all of the mountains. So the question is, how does that mean? Does that mean that there were 15 Ammas of water? Does that mean there was Chamish Esrei Ba'emek? So if you have an area which is in a valley, there would be 15 Amma. V'chamish Baharim, and you would have 15 Ammas in a mountain. V'chimayish Shuri Sharim Kaima, wasn't the water equal in height across the world? Void, and if you're not going to be able to explain that the water was at the same height all around the world. How did the Teva travel if the water was higher and lower in different locations? Elo, what must have happened, he explains, Nifka Komayanis Taimaraba, all of these sources of water opened up, Ad the Shava Maibat the Turi, and that much water landed until it came to the top of the mountains. For Hadar, and after it came to the top of the mountains, Chomish Asra Mamala Gavra Mayim, once the water reached level with the top of all the mountains, then it was 15 Amos above it. Now he continues. V'chi Eza Midah Meruba, Midah Tavim, Midah Peronius. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give in a greater amount? Good or bad? Have Oima, Midah Tava, Midah Peronius. Good is given more than bad. As we find, the Pasuk says, by Midah Tova, Noitze Chesed La'alofim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves, if somebody did something good, the schus of that stays for thousands of generations. However, when it comes to doing something bad, there it says, the punishment for somebody who have done something wrong, the Pasuk says, Paiket Avon Ovois, Abonim V'Abnei Bonim, Ashleishim V'Aribayim. Only for four daughters. So we see that the Midah Tova, Alfat Lafim is 2,000, this is four, is 500 times greater. So he says, Midas Peronius Hoimer, when the Pasuk speaks about how the Mabul occurred, that says, Varubais HaShemayim Niftachu. That means the windowsills of the Shemayim opened up. And Arubis is a Lashon Rabbim.
And as we've learned many times, whenever the Pasuk uses a Lashon Rabbim, it means a minimum of two. But Midah Taiva, when it speaks about the Man, which is a Midah Taiva, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, V'yitzav shchokim imal, v'dasa shemayim pasach, v'yamta leim man lechol, v'dgan shemayim lason lamayim. So we see Dalsh Shemayim, that means two doors. Kama Rubais Yesh Bedelis, how many windows are there in every door? Arba. So if there are four, then here we have two doors. Harekan Shemayna, Arba and Arba, 4 + 4 = 8. V'nimtzamon Shiar Lam Yisrael, so that's 8 windowsills versus the 2 windowsills by the Mabel. So if we just learned that the 2 windowsills by the Mabel represented a height of 15. 8 is 4 times 15. And that's why, says the Gemara, Nimtza Shemon Shiar Lem Yisrael Gavaya is a total of 16. So we see from here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way he brought the Mabel was from 2 stars, the Marsha explains, and the Mon came from much more influence Min HaShemayim. Tana Isi Ben Yehuda Omer, Man Shiyar Lem Yisrael, the man that came down to Klai Yisrael on the Midbar, Hayimiz Gabe Va'ayla, would rise up at Shirayna Yisrael Kamas Mizrachim Arav. All of the kings from the east and the west would see the man. Shnemar Tarach Lefana Shulchan Neged Tzoriroi Kaisu Revoya, that the man came up in the morning before they went out to collect the man, because as the Ben Yoyad explains, that they only needed a small amount of man, as we discussed in a previous year. But rather, every morning, when the man came down, says the Ben Yoyad, it came up very high, that all of the countries neighboring the Midbar saw how that man came down. And after the man came down, then afterwards, it would get reduced to the amount that everybody needed. Arabayo, Shmamino, Kasad David L'Amadasi, the Gemara says that in Masechta Pesachim, that when Mashiach comes and they're going to have a suda, David HaMelech is going to be the one to say to lead the Birch Samozim. And he's going to say it on a case of wine. As the Gemara says there, also HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasat suda l'tzadikim lasat lovoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to prepare a suda for the tzadikim when Mashiach comes. But David HaMelech is going to read that Birch Samozim. Says, how much will that cup hold? Ma'asin v'esin v'chad loigen. It'll hold 221 loigen. Shenema kais revoya. Revoya b'gematria hochi hava. That's going to be the gematria of revoya. And Reb Tzadok explains, why are we saying that this pasuk is speaking about when Mashiach comes? So he says that revoya means to be completely satiated. He says, in this world, it's impossible to be completely satiated. But in Mitzvah Shem, when Mashiach comes, we will be zoicha to kaisu revoya, says the Gemara. But how can we compare from the Mabel to the Mon? Haloi damya, the two scenarios are not similar. Hosom, but Bar Myon. By the Mabel, it rained constantly for 40 days. Hachi chad shata. Here, the Mon came down once a day, but not for 40 days straight. Hosom l'kula alma. On the other hand, this is the way the Tosfos Yeshanim explains the Gemara. Again, just pointing out that the two situations are not similar. Hosom l'kula alma. There, the Mabul, the rain, the water spread out over the whole world. Hachal Yisrael l'chudei. Here was a much more concentrated area, just in the Midbar. V'nafsh l'tvei. So that's why there could be even higher. So how can we compare the two situations? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar Amidoi, Psicha Psicha. He had a gzeirah shava to connect the two halachas. By the Mabel it says, V'arubes HaShemayim Niftachu. And by the Mon it says, V'das HaShemayim Pasach. That's how, even though the situations, as we just described, were so very different, that's how he connected the two situations. We learned in the Mishnah that Yom Kippurim, on Yom Kippur, also b'achilu b'shtiya, b'rechitzu b'sicha b'nil sasandu b'tashu shamita. Ask the Gemara, hani chamisha nuyim. So our Mishnah mentioned 5 ways how we have to refrain on Yom Kippur. Connect me. What do they correspond. So as the Tosfos Yeshayanim explains, the Gemara doesn't say Menolon or Mehechi Nafki, because as we're going to learn, especially according to the opinion of Tosfos, not all of the Inuyim are Osa Medaraisa. So we can't say, where do we know these Inuyim if they're not even all Osa Medaraisa? But we want to understand the number five. Amrav, Chizda Kenege Chamisha Inuyim B'Toyra. The Torah mentions the word Inuy five times, and the Pasuk of Esser, of Achbasser, Shabbos, 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 Vaisala, Melchuka. So since the Torah mentions the word Inuy five times, that is a proof that there are five Inuyim on Yom Kippur. Ask the Gemara, but now we have a different problem. Hani Chamisha Hava. The Torah mentions the word Inuy five times, but if we count the amount of Inuyim that are mentioned in our Mishnah, V'nan Shita Tanan, Achila, Shtia, Rechitza, Sicha, Nilas, Asando, Tashu, Shemita, are six. Answers the Gemara, Shtia, B'chalahi, Chilahi. Shtia and Achila are really one and the same. Damar Shlokish. How do we know that shtia, eating and drinking, are really all the same? Shnemar, the Torah says that in the first and the second, and in the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, we have to take off Maisa Sheni, and the Aloch is that we have to take that Maisa Sheni up to Yerushalayim and eat it there. And the Torah says, V'chatul fnei Hashem l'kecha, ma'aseh d'goncha t'rosh v'tzrocha. Torah, the definition of tirosh chamruhu is wine. And yet, the Torah says v'chalta, karele v'chalta, the Torah uses the word achalta on wine, which is a beverage. Ask the Gemara, Mai, who says that when the Pasuk, what makes you say, ask the Gemara, that when the Pasuk uses the word tirosh, it means drinking wine, that they used to have a type of a food that they prepared by putting wine into it. But it's a food, it's not a drink. How do you make this dish? They take beet juice. The sigrin is a type of maya, the kulishoki, that they cook in it different types of vegetables. So it's a dish, it's a food. But we don't have a proof that we could use the word vachalta on shtia. We can learn it from another pasuk by Maisa Sheni. The Torah says that if somebody, Baruch Hashem, has much Maisa Sheni produce, and it's difficult for him to take it all up to Yerushalayim, what he could do is he could redeem the Maisa Sheni on money and take the money up to Yerushalayim and use that money in Yerushalayim to buy food. And the Pasuk says that what do you do with that money? So the Torah says, and then the Torah says, continues the pasuk, ubechol ashtol sholcha nafshecha v'chalto shem ufnei Hashem alakecha v'samachto ato v'secha. Now shecher, obviously shesiu, is something we drink, and yet we see the Torah when it speaks about shecher calls it v'chalto. So we see that achila is included in shtia. Of course, as much as the Gemara is saying that achila, that shtia and achila are one, they're not really completely the same. Because as we learned in our Mishnah, and we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in our coming Shiurim, the shear of Achila and the shear of Shtia are not really the exact same shear, the mounts. But in certain way, Shtia is Bechlal Achila. Says the Gemara, Mamai, who asked the Gemara, why are you saying that Pasuk, when it speaks about Shecher, means drinking? Dilma, there too, Hochnami, it means Dachlei Ayidei Nigrin, that you're not eating the wine, you're not drinking the wine, but rather what you did was, you put it into that Nigra food. Answers the Gemara, Shecher Ksiv. The Pasuk describes what you bought as Shecher. Midi the Meshaka, something that could intoxicate. And when you have wine in a food, that wine doesn't cause intoxication. So it must be pure wine. Ask the Gemara. The Dilma, but the Gemara is still not ready to accept this explanation. The Dilma, maybe it's talking about the Vila Kilis. It's talking about a certain type of date which has the ability to intoxicate. The Tanya, Ochel Vila Kilis, if somebody ate this type of a date, or Shasa, if he drank Dvash, honey, chalav is milk, v'nechnas l'migdash, and he entered the base of Migdash, and we know that one may not enter the Beis HaMikdash when he's drunk. And of course, wine, milk, explain the Paiskim, doesn't make somebody drunk, but it does make him drowsy. So if he enters the Beis HaMikdash, Chayv Malkus. He's Chayv Malkus because the Torah says, Yayim v'shech ha-toish, ato v'necho itcha v'boichem el-oil moed, v'lo semuchu chokus oilam. So we see that shaker includes anything that could intoxicate. And here we have a food that intoxicates the Devel Achilles. So again, how do we know that the word that shtia includes, that achila includes shtia? Ella says the Gemara, we go back, Yalef, we learn sheikha, shaykhim, and nazar. We know that a nazar is not prohibited in anything that intoxicate. The nazar is only prohibited in grape and grape products. And mas sheikha lahalon, when the Torah uses the word sheikha by nazar, it means yayin. It doesn't mean dveil achilles, because that's not something that the nazar may not eat. Af, so says the Gemara, the kan, when the Torah uses the word sheikha by ma'aseh sheni, it means yayin. And still, the Torah uses the word achila. So we see that the word achila could apply even to wine. And that's why in our Mishnah, shti and achila are really one. And that's why we only have five. We have five inuyim corresponding to the five times the Torah says inui in the Torah. The Gemara said, as Rish Lakish said, shti b'chlal achila. Asked the Gemara, the Tirash, and the Gemara said that from the pasuk that it says, Masa Degoncha Tirash Chavitzarecha, and we define Tirash as wine. Asked the Gemara, the Tirash Chamrahu, is that true that Tirash is wine? V'tanya, Hanoide Mina Tirash, if somebody makes a neder that he will not have any benefit from Tirash, Os Bechomin in Masika, he's not allowed to have any sweet fruit, or Mutabayayin. So we see that tirosh means something sweet, and it doesn't mean wine at all. Ask the Gemara, on the other hand, the lav chamruhu, can you suggest that tirosh doesn't mean wine? V'ksiv, the pasuk says in Zechariah, v'tirosh yonoiv habsuras, that the Navi is describing how beautiful and great Eretz Yisrael will look when Mashiach comes, b'mehera b'yameinu, that the Eretz Yisrael will give wine that will open up one when one drinks wine, all of the secrets come out. So too, just like a basula is opened up, so too will the wine that Eretz Yisrael produce be like. Says the Gemara, that's not a raya, because the pasuk says, Dova, the pasuk means to say, Dova habomina tirish, the product of grapes, yonoivet psulis. So it doesn't mean wine, it means grapes. And the pasuk means that something that comes out of grapes. But ask the Gemara again, v'ksiv, the pasuk says in Mishlei, Kavis Hashem ahoncha, v'tirish yikovecha yifroitzu. And the pasuk means to say that if somebody gives tzedakah, he will be zoicha v'tirish yikovecha yifroitzu, that he will have an abundance of wine. So we see again that tirosh means wine. Answers the Gemara again. What the pasuk means to say is, dova habomina tirosh, the product of grapes. Tirosh means grapes. And the product of grapes, yukovech yifroitzu, you will have an abundance if one is careful to give tzedakah. Ask the Gemara another question. The pasuk says, in Hosea, v'ksiv zus v'yayin v'tirosh yikachlev, that if somebody acts in an immoral fashion and he drinks wine, it causes his heart to go away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here it clearly means wine, because yayin v'tirosh, fruit doesn't cause you to go away from Hashem. Ella, says the Gemara, absolutely. The kol alma tirosh chamruhu. We must say that the definition of tirosh means wine. So if that's the case, why, if somebody made a neder that he's not going to have hanor from tirosh, is the halacha that he's not allowed to have hanor from anything sweet, but he's allowed to have hanor from wine, as we quoted from Masechta Nedarim? Says the Gemara, because in Nedarim, there are different rules. But Nedarim, harach ach loshem le'odim. When we speak about Nedarim, we follow the way people normally express themselves. And when people say tirosh, in their vocabulary, it meant something sweet. And that's what we follow when we speak about Nedarim. But indeed, tirosh in the Torah means wine. V'amai karolei yayin, v'amai karolei tirosh. Why do we find that sometimes wine is called yayin and sometimes it's called tirosh? Answers the Gemara, Yayin, the reason it's called Yayin, Shemevi Yilola Boilam. As we just discussed, wine, if somebody drinks too much wine, it could cause that he should act in an improper manner. Tirosh, Shekolam is Garaba. If somebody becomes very accustomed to drink wine, Nasarosh, he's going to become poor because he's going to become addicted to drinking wine. And therefore, once he becomes addicted to drinking wine, he's going to constantly spend all his money on wine. Says the Gemara of Hanan Rami, Sif Tirosh, the spelling that we find in the Torah for the word Tirosh is without the Vav, the Karinon, but the Kri, the way it's pronounced, is Tirosh with a Vav. How is that to understand? Zocha, if somebody drinks wine in the proper moderation, Nasarosh. Wine has the ability that it can make a person intelligent. A person that drinks wine is typically a happy person. Simcha is critical to doing the right thing, and it helps him get more intelligent. However, Loi Zocha, if he drinks past what he's supposed to, as we just explained, Nasarosh, and I saw the Mefarshim explain, he becomes poor in two levels. One, he becomes financially poor, because as we just explained, he's constantly spending his money to keep that habit of drinking wine going, and also affects his mental status. Rava Rami, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Yishamach. The pasuk says until V'yayin Yishamach Levav Enosh. But when we speak, since, as we know in the Torah, the known the Kodesh, so we don't know if that shin is a shin of Yishamach or a sin Yishamach. The Karinim by Yishamach, it's a Yishamach or Yishamach. Says the Gemara, Zocha, if a person drinks wine in the proper moderation, Mesamchai, he will be happy. Loi Zocha, but if he doesn't drink wine in the proper moderation, he becomes addicted to it, Meshamamai, it destroys him. Wine and besamim, pichin, make your person smart. So I saw that many mefarshim suggest pshat in this Gemara when we speak about chamra v'yayin pichin, the wine and besamim make you smart. So I saw many mefarshim suggest that the pshat in the Gemara is that we find that the way to make wine is absolute silence. Silence is the proper way to make wine. Besamim, the proper way of making wine, making besamim, is with sound. As we say, that when they made the besamim for the Ktiris, they said, Hadek Hetev, Hetev Hadek, they used to say words. So the pshat here is that if a person has in him the proper balance of yayin, of being silent, and rechani, and speaking, a person who has that proper balance to speak when he's supposed to speak and be quiet when he's supposed to be quiet, pichin, that is a smart person. And that's why I saw from the Bava Rebbe Zatzal, he says that we use wine and besamim when we make havdalah. What is the point of using wine and besamim when we make havdalah? So he would explain, as the week begins, so we want to begin the week in the proper fashion. So we take the wine, which represents silence, and we take the besamim, which represents speaking, and combine them and show we should have a week that we act with chachma. And I saw, similarly, from Rabbi Nachum Zemba Zatzal, that we know that Shlomo HaMelech is known as the Chochmei Kol Adam. Shlomo HaMelech is known as the smartest of all people. And he says, if you think about Shlomo HaMelech, there are two takanas that we know Shlomo HaMelech is famous for. One was that Shlomo HaMelech instituted Netilas Yodayim. Netilas Yodayim means that one has to wash his hands, one has to be careful about Tum and Tahara to separate himself from other people. On the other hand, Shlomo HaMelech was also the one that instituted Erev Chatzeres. What Erev Chatzeres represents is that all of the people, as we've discussed so many times, Baruch Hashem, living in one courtyard, all of the people living in one house, one apartment house, connect to each other by making an Erev. What was Shlomo HaMelech showing? That, again,
He was showing tremendous chachma. Sometimes we have to separate ourselves from other people, and sometimes we have to connect with other people. And by connecting and separating, that's how you show that you are indeed a wise person. We spoke before about in the Mishnah and the Gemara today, Shir, about the Chamisha Inuyim. So the Gemara wants to identify how do we know that each one of the five Inuyim that are Asar on Yom Kippur are indeed considered an Inuy. Ask the Gemara, how do we know that washing oneself or smearing oneself, anointing oneself, are considered inui? The ksiv. The pasuk in Daniel tells us that Daniel was in mourning for 3 weeks because he discovered that Koresh, who had allowed for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, had given a decree that they should stop. And Daniel, in describing that period of his life when he was not when he was in mourning because of that terrible decree, says lechem chamudos lo yochalti, obos v'yayin lo ba'al pi, v'soich lo yisochachti. Says the Gemara in explaining that pasuk. My lechem chamudos lo yochalti. What does it mean that lechem chamudos lo yochalti? Says the Gemara, Amar of Yehuda b'rei d'shmu ba'sheilus, afilu nahama d'chita d'kiesi, even bread that's made out of good wheat, lo yachol. And the Sefer Tosfos in Kippurim ask, what does the word afilu mean? What is and in fact, he quotes some girsus that take out the word afilu. But he explains that avelus, mourning, of course, a person is supposed to act certain ways in mourning, but mourning does not require fasting. But one's not obligated to refrain from eating when he's mourning. But what happened here was that Neil said that even though I wasn't obligated to stop eating, I did not eat anything. I did not eat this type of bread during that period. Another shot that I saw is that he was saying I didn't eat bread, which is certainly a necessity in life, and I certainly didn't eat any other delicious foods. And how do we know when he says the soich loy sochti that that's considered inui? The ksiv, the pasuk says that the Malach Gavriel comes to see him after he acted this way, and he says to v'yoymelai, the Malach says to Daniel, Al tira Daniel, don't be concerned, Daniel. Kimina yoyma rishon shenasata slipcha lahavin ulus anos lufnei alkecha, to understand and be in pain in front of Hashem. Nishmu devarecha vani basi bedevarecha. So we see that it's considered inui. But ask the Gemara, ashkechan sicha. So now we've identified that sicha is considered an inui. But ask the Gemara, rechitz manolan. How do we know that rechitz is also considered an inui? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Zatri Batovya Amar Kra. The pasuk compares with Tava Kamayim Bekibroi Kshemim Batzmaisav. The Torah connects Sicha to Rechitza. So if we said that Sicha, or lack of Sicha, is considered an Inui, so lack of Rechitza is an Inui as well. Ask the Gemara, who says when the pasuk is comparing Shem Batzmaisav, which means Sicha, to water, does it mean to washing oneself with water? Vema, it means Shtia. It means that Sicha and Shtia are connected. Says the Gemara, Dumi the Shemin. Washing is much more similar to Sicha than drinking. Shemin mas Shemin mavroi. The oil we smear on our outside of our body. After Maya, that's being referred to in this pasuk, is Mavroi, water that we put on our body with Rechitza, not water which we drink, which goes into our body. Ask the Gemara. Vatana, but ask the Gemara where we found the pasuk that says the opposite. How do we know that just like one may not drink on Yom Kippur, as we learned earlier in our shir, one may not shmir himself on Yom Kippur? Says the Mishnah Masechet Shabbos that pay vav and aleph that even though we don't have an explicit raya, so we see clearly that the pasuk when it speaks about shem batzmaisav connecting it to water, doesn't it connect it to water with which we wash ourselves, but rather it connects with water that we drink. Elam Ashi,
Ruchitz Megufa de Kriya Shema Ilei. The pasuk itself that speaks about what Daniel did itself is a proof that Shtiya is that Sicha, that Ruchitz is Asur. Because what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says V'soich Loi Shachti, that I didn't shmear myself. If the pasuk only meant to say that Daniel was saying that he didn't shmear himself, it should have been enough to say Loi Sachti. Why does the pasuk add the word V'soich to say Loi Sachti is talking about shmearing himself with oil, and V'soich means washing himself? And the pasuk says that what did Gavriel tell Daniel? They said V'ani Bossi B'dvarecha. Asking about what does it mean, V'ni Basi B'dvarecha, says Mara Haina Diksiv, that's what the pasuk says, V'shim Ish Mezikney Beis Yisrael, V'yaz Nia Ben Shefet Oimei B'soichem, Oimdu L'fneim, V'ish Mektarte B'yodoy, V'an Asar Anan Haktoinus Oila, that the Cheskel saw a Nevuah that the Ktoinus will come back to Klal Yisrael. So here our Gemara has taught us that the Mishnah says Sicha Kishtiya. So it's a very interesting question. If the halacha is that Sicha Kishtiya, that when one smears himself, it's equal to drinking, and that's why we're learning that in Yom Kippur, one may not do Sicha, what's the halacha if we say Sicha Kishticha? The halacha ought to be that one should not be allowed to put on himself non-kosher fat or soap, because if it's considered like, if we're saying Sicha Kishtiya, so Tosfos in Masechta Nida, that Flame Beis Amin Aleph, the very Maskul Kishemin, says the Pasuk which compares smearing to drinking speaks of oil. So Tosfos over there suggests, Rabbein Adam over there suggests, that the only type of Sicha that we say Sicha Kishtiya is only with oil. But any other type of material, the din of Sicha Kishtiya does not apply. Moreover, says Rabbeinu Tam, later on tomorrow's daf, that the only one of that Sicha is not Asur Midi Araisa. We know that Tosfos' opinion is that only Achil of Kishtiya are Asur Midi Araisa. So it turns out that this pasuk of Sicha Kishtiya is only in Asmachta. It's not a din de Araisa. And therefore says Rabbeinu Tam, that Chazal decided that where to apply the concept of Sicha Kishtiya and where not to apply the concept of Shia. And they did not. They said Sicha Kishtiya is indeed prohibited on Yom Kippur, but has nothing to do when it comes to Hilchas Machals Asuris, that just like you're not allowed to eat something non-kosher, you're not allowed to smear yourself with something non-kosher. The Ramah in Hilchas Shabbos says that on Shabbos, one may not wash himself with soap or fats. Says the Gra, that from here we see, and in those days, certainly all soap was made out of non-kosher material. So here we see that Ramah obviously held that there is no problem of Sich Kishtiya on soap, even though it's made out of non-kosher material. The Gra himself, however, disagrees, and the Gra was makbid that the soap that he used had to be made out of kosher ingredients because of Sicha Kishtiya. However, the Aruch HaShulchan says that he never heard anybody looking for a hechsher on soap, and we don't apply the concept of Sicha Kishtiya. And the reason he says is because soap is any royal achilas kelev. It's not something that's edible. And even when we speak about food that we may not eat, but a food that's in a royal achilas kalaf, that's not even edible to a dog, there's no kashrus issue. So if that's the case, even if one, says Darcha Shulchan, were to accept the concept of Sicha Kishtiya, it cannot be accepted on something which is like soap, which is totally inedible.